good evening, everyone. We're going to commence our gospel service by singing 215. 215, good old fashioned gospel hymn. Years I spent in vanity and pride, carry not my Lord was crucified. 215, we'll stand to sing, please. Let's lay our hearts together. Let's look to the Lord and ask for his blessing tonight. O God, our Father, it is in the great name of the Lord Jesus that we, Lord, would come into your presence with singing. We thank you, Lord, from the very commencement of this meeting. We've been singing about Calvary. We're singing, Lord, about that place where the Lord Jesus loved us and he gave his life upon the cross. We praise you for the cross work of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul could say of Christ, he loved me and he gave himself for me. And we thank you for the shedding of his blood, that it was, Lord, perfect and it was completed. And he cried from the depths of his heart, it is finished. And he put away a sin by the sacrifice of himself. We praise you tonight, Lord, there's a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We praise you, Lord, there's mercy for those who would turn from their sin and come to Christ tonight and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank Father, the great words of John the Baptist, and he cried, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Lord, we're glad that's still the message. The message never changes. Look to Jesus and be saved. I pray, Lord, tonight in this meeting, I pray throughout our province the souls will be saved. Well, thank you for living in a land where the gospel is preached. Thank you belong, Lord, to the denomination. We're preaching the gospel of Christ. We think of the words of Paul, Father. He says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Lord, we're glad we're a gospel preaching church. But we need thee, Lord, to move in hearts. And we pray you'll do it. We pray you'll move in people, even of this village of Ballygan. We think of the family here of this congregation. And their people have loved ones. And Lord, they're not saved, and move in their hearts. And if there's any in tonight in this meeting, may I not go home without Christ, I pray of thee. We thank you for this open door in Ballygan. We thank you for leading thy servant Omrod and his family, Lord, to take up the work and to carry on the work of God here in this place. And we pray that you'll bless him abundantly. And we ask you, Lord, that the best days for this work is yet to come. Lord, do it and move. Move mightily in the hearts of many people. And revive your people and take away the coldness and the deadness, Lord, from our hearts, I pray. Oh, be with us here tonight in this meeting. My Lord, may we really enjoy being here tonight. May we enjoy the singing the old-fashioned gospel hymns. May we enjoy the reading and the preaching of the word of the living God. Even your people tonight who saved, may we rejoice in a wonderful Savior who has saved us and who has given us the gift of God, which is everlasting life, I pray of thee. Oh Lord, cover us in the blood, I pray. Fill us with thy Spirit. May we know that truly the Lord God of heaven is in this place here tonight. We look to thee for a blessing. And Lord, I ask you to be with us here. And all we do for thee, I pray and ask these things in Jesus' wonderful and great name. Amen. Amen. 221, it's a lovely hymn. Come every soul by sinner oppressed. Well, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest, all by trusting in his word. Let you keep your seats, and we'll sing this lovely hymn together. Come every soul by sinner oppressed. You can keep your seats for it.
Thank you.
That's a great hymn to sing. Want you to turn tonight in God's Word to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah and the chapter 8. So the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 8 for our Bible reading here tonight. Jeremiah and the chapter 8. I'm going to read together from the verse 1. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the resident of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stalk in the heavens knoweth for appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of his scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Amen. And we pray the Lord to bless that short reading of his word to all of our hearts. Now we're going to call on Bill. Bill's going to come and give the announcements, please. Thank you.
Well, then this evening we do extend to you all a very warm word of welcome in the Saviour's name. We're very pleased to see you out with us in the Lord's house, and we trust that the Lord might richly bless you as you've joined with us. And if we have any visiting, can we bid you a special welcome in the Saviour's name. And those perhaps who are watching online, not able to be out in the house of God with us here, but watching the service, we trust that the Lord will richly bless you also. We're very pleased to have as our preacher this evening our brother Mr. Noel Shields. Noel, of course, is no stranger amongst us here in Ballygowan. He works under the mission board of the Free Presbyterian Church, and we do trust that the Lord will richly bless your brother as he comes and ministers to us this evening, and that the hand of the Lord will be upon him. Could we just remind you that today the retiring and loose offerings will be going towards the work of the building fund. Remember the services as they continue throughout the incoming week. On Monday morning, tomorrow morning, we have the parent and toddlers meeting in the church hall at 10:30 a.m. And then at 6:45 p.m. Awana will be meeting, and again they meet over in the church hall. On Tuesday evening we have our children's meeting at 7 p.m. up in the prayer room. And then on Wednesday we have our Bible study at 8 p.m. And the Bible study and prayer time will be led again by our own minister, the Reverend Ormerod, who will be back from his short holiday, and he'll be continuing with his study on the Lord's disciples at that Wednesday prayer meeting. So we ask you to remember that, and if you can get out, please do make the effort to get out to the place of prayer. On Friday evening, our young people's fellowship are going across to the Youth Council prayer meeting, which is being held in our Carrie Duff Free Presbyterian Church. So the young people will be leaving the church here at 7:40 in the evening, and we just ask the young people to remember that, leaving at 7:40 to head across to Carrie Duff Free Presbyterian Church. The service is next Lord's Day at the usual times. The Sunday school and Bible class meet at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 a.m. there's a season of prayer prior to the morning worship. And God willing, the Reverend Ormerod will be out to preach at both services next Lord's Day. The morning service, of course, is the act of remembrance, and we will have the Army cadets participating as they normally do next Lord's Day. And also there'll be others from our congregation. Jim and Stephen Ferguson will be playing the pipes, and brother Mr. Stephen Anderson will be ministering in song at that service also. So please do make the effort to get along to that service next Lord's Day. As we mentioned this morning, and I will just take the opportunity to mention it again, for those who come via the Ballygowan roundabout next Lord's Day morning, there will be a wreath laying ceremony commencing probably around 10:45, or the roads at least will start to get blocked off around that time, and there are likely to be traffic delays up until maybe getting towards 11:30, the time of our own service. So please do make prior arrangements to try and get up early to that you'll not be blocked from it. There'll certainly be some delay there, so I'd ask you to remember that. The season of prayer next Lord's Day evening is at 6:30, preceding the evening service at 7 p.m. And as we say, the Reverend Ormerod will be ministering again next Lord's Day evening. And then after the service next Lord's Day at 8:45, the North Down Youth Rally will be held and are carried off Free Presbyterian Church again. And again, we'd remind the young people of that special meeting. As we mentioned this morning, the Port of Ogie ladies are having their outing on Saturday, the 18th of November. And an invitation has been given to the ladies of our own congregation to join with them on their outing. So the bus will leave from Newtownards heading to Hillmount Garden Centre for tea and coffee. And from there, the ladies will be able to go to the Abbey Centre for some shopping, and then on to McKee's Restaurant at Newtownards for dinner at 5 o'clock in the evening. The cost of the outing is £25, and that includes the transport to and from Newtownards plus the dinner. So any ladies that are interested in attending, if they could please let Mrs. Ormerod know by Wednesday evening at the latest, if possible. I know they're not out today, so even if you can't get in touch with them yourselves, feel free to mention to any of the members of committee or session and they'll get the message passed on. So we just ask the ladies to remember that, Saturday the 18th of November. We just ask you again to continue to remember this. The announcements are continuous about sick of the congregation, and we ask you to continue to remember those who are sick at this time, they decide. Brother Mr. Sidney Swando is home from hospital. Please do remember him and Robert, of course. Please continue to remember Robert and Joanne in your prayers. And then David Foster also. And I know our sister Amanda was out this morning, but please remember David Ballum as well at this time of sickness, that the Lord's hand will be upon all of these people. And then just finally, can we again express our sympathy to our sister Margaret Marshall in the passing of her brother this morning. So please do remember Margaret, Jim and the rest of the family circle at this time. I don't think there's any details of the funeral service, but as soon as those details are heard, that information will be passed on to anyone that's interested and attending the funeral. So please do remember that family circle and all the other family circles and are connected with our church who have been recently bereaved, that the hand of the Lord will continue upon them. I think these are all the announcements.
Well, we'd like to thank our brother Bill for the warm words of welcome. Somebody reminded me that I already came in that It was Christmas Day, it was the last time I was here. Sure enough, how quickly time flies. Hard to believe that, I suppose in a few weeks' time, that'll be a year ago. The year has really flown. And so we've been running here and there, doing missions for the Lord throughout the land, even over in Isle of Man as well. From September sort of time there, Colin and I, we did a mission together in Newton Stewart, and we had a good mission there. And then I went down to Resharkin, did a mission there, just finished a mission in Achalee, and now we're going to Clacker Valley. I'll be starting outreach this week and next week as well, outreach and do a 2-week mission. Take us into December doing gospel mission. So pray for us, pray as we go out throughout our province and sowing the seed, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and certainly that many people will come and find the Lord Jesus as a Lord and Saviour. So I do thank anyone who do support me in any way, financially and prayerfully. I thank you for that. Keep on praying. I keep on praying for the work here in our province. I do pray for this work. Mr. Armrod's with us now as well here in Ballygowan. And we pray we'll all have the blessing of the Lord. And we see great things being done and see people come to Christ. Now, do you lift the offering? Yes, you do lift the offering. Okay. 230. 230 is a lovely old-fashioned gospel hymn. Life at the best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Well, it says be in time. 230, keep your seats. The first couple of verses of this hymn. Thank you. Have your Bibles, we want to turn to the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 7. The book of Jeremiah and the chapter 7. I want to speak tonight in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and it is the verse 7. Yea, the stalk in the heavens knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. I want to speak tonight a lesson from the birds. A lesson from the birds is found here in this verse, chapter Jeremiah 8 and the verse 7. Let's look to the Lord and let's pray that he really will bless us here tonight. And I know his help in preaching, and you know his help in listening to the word of God tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can meet in this fashion. I pray you'll bless us, Lord, around the word of God. And if there's any unconverted, I ask you to move in their hearts and to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you Now the Lord Jesus is willing, he's able, he's mighty, and he's a wonderful Saviour. And oh Lord, that people tonight would taste and see that thou art good. Oh, I ask for your help. I pray for the Spirit of a living God to be given to me and give me help to preach this word. And Lord, that Christ will be glorified in all that be said and done. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When you read this prophecy of Jeremiah, we can see that he was a very faithful servant of the Lord. From the very opening of this book, he is told, and we are told, that here was a man set aside by God. And he was set aside by God to be a preacher of the word of God. We find that in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So he's saying here to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, it was me. I have made you a preacher. I have made you a prophet. And you know, I did it before you were born. You know, God always has a plan. His plan is always perfect. His plan is always up to date. God had a plan. He had a plan for Jeremiah. And he said, Jeremiah, away in eternity, I had you picked out to be a preacher of the word of God. And so, that's what he was. He's a prophet of the Lord. And we do find when God sent him out to preach, he had God's message. For instance, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, notice, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And that's a wonderful thing. He's going out to the streets of Jerusalem. He's going to face people who's lost in sin and they're far away from God. And God says to Jeremiah, you go out and face those people and preach. And I have put my words in thy mouth. They were not Jeremiah's words. They were God's words. I'm glad when I preach today that I preach the word of God. Aren't you glad to have the Bible today? And the Bible believing church where we have the word of the living God. Jeremiah was a man. God says, Jeremiah, I have given you my words. And he went out and he preached them. I love this man, Jeremiah. He was very faithful. He was a very faithful preacher. He was a very sincere preacher. You know, sometimes you think, well, they're professional preachers, and I'm not pointing any finger at anybody or so on, but maybe some people come to your mind, they're professional preaching. There's only a job. It's only a job. It certainly was not so with Jeremiah. His whole heart was in this ministry. His whole heart was in this task that God had given him, and bringing the word to those who were lost. So much so that he says in chapter 9 verse 1, oh that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And here he is known as the weeping prophet. He's praying. Yes, he's crying. He's crying over the sins and the judgment of the people. When you read Lamentations that were written by Jeremiah, his heart was broken. You see, here's a man that put his whole heart into the ministry. And he was very sincere in this ministry. And he was very faithful in it. The faithfulness of Jeremiah, when you read the book, they hated him. They rejected him. They took him and they cast him into dungeons, into pits. They despised him. They wouldn't listen to him. And he preached and told them to turn to Jesus Christ and to repent. But the people would not listen to Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to them. For instance, in verse 5, you know what he says? The God says, they refused to return. And the people tonight in this church, and you're not listening. Maybe you've been brought up in the free church for many years. You've heard hundreds. Yeah, I would say you've heard thousands of gospel sermons. But you've not returned. You've not repented. You've not come to Jesus Christ. Well, this is people here. They refused to return. It actually says, not one man in verse 6, no man repenteth, not even one. But Jeremiah was preaching away to them. And the people were not listening. So in order to get their attention, he directs their eyes to the birds. And that's what we find here in verse 7. He introduces the subject of the birds. He talks about the stork. He talks about the turtle and the crane and the swallow. He talks about their reaction and how in their migration, how they rose up and went away. It is estimated that about 283 kinds of birds pass over Israel. Migration is going on, perhaps even at this time that I'm speaking, throughout the world. It is reckoned about 500 million birds in the autumn. They make their way from Europe to Africa and Asia, and then back again in the spring. And he's really arguing to these people, and he's showing the birds that the birds know where and how and when to flee, when to rise up with their wings, a flap of their wings, and make their escape. But you're not listening. A lesson from the birds. And I want us to look at this here tonight together in the closing moments of this meeting. A lesson from the birds in the migration of them. Notice here the reason for their flight. If you look at the words, it talked about their appointed times and the time of their coming. So they rise up, these birds, because they know their time is coming. They know that winter is coming. So when you think of winter, what do we think of darkness. There's a time of darkness coming, and these birds know it. I was coming down the road tonight, and it was only after 5 o'clock, and I had the lights on. And you probably had your lights on if you're out on the road as well. At that particular time, there's darkness, winter's coming. You could see it. There's coldness is coming. The birds could feel this. Danger is coming to them. They know in their own body, they will be unable to survive. If they remain where they are in their home that they've made in a tree or wherever it may be, if they remain where they are, they know there's danger. They know they've got to get out of here. And they've got to rise up. The stork, the crane, the turtle, and the swallow migrate. They know this. And notice in their text, they all go. Because each bird is mentioned in the singular, but it's not meaning that one crane goes, or one turtle, or one swallow. It's referring here to the family of the cranes, the family of the swallows, and the turtles. And here's what they're saying, and here's what Jeremiah's saying, and I want you to notice tonight, he says they all go. They all rise up to go. In flocks of thousands, they rise up to fly to a warmer climate. And this is the lesson that he's bringing them here to these people. They set off in their journey, and you can watch them, and even throughout the world today, there are particular sites throughout the world where people actually gather and they watch the migration here of birds. And if you want to go up to Stanford Lock is a great place where cranes come from America or from Canada, about 70,000 of them. And if you want to go and watch them, people actually do this because they know the birds are coming. They set off and they make their journey at this particular time. So Jeremiah is using this, and I want to tell you tonight, he's using this as a rebuke. He's not informing them. He's not saying, well, I want to teach you some things about the birds. He's using this to rebuke the people. They were sitting in their sin. They were not listening. They were not trusting. They were not repenting. They were not coming to Christ. They were not obeying the word of a living God. They were sitting. But the birds were not sitting. The birds are rising up. Different flocks, different ways. But not this people. You can see that in verse 5. They refused to return. Verse 6. No man repenteth him of his wickedness. Talks about in verse 4, fall and not rise, turn away and not return. They were in trouble. They were in trouble because of their sin. But they weren't listening. But the birds listened. They saw the darkness. They felt the coldness. And they rose up on their flight to immigration. When I look at the Bible today, the Bible tells us that the unsaved person is in great danger. And the unsaved person tonight, if you're unsaved in this meeting tonight or listening on the internet, you're in great danger because of your sin. You're lost. And you're under the wrath of God. And you're heading towards hell. And that's just black and white preaching. That's not trying to butter this all up tonight. We can't do this. We cannot butter it up tonight. We've got to say it as it is in the Word of God. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're under God's wrath tonight because of your sin. God is merciful. Yes, He is. But He's holy. And He hates sin. And you're under His wrath. And you're in great danger of losing your soul. That's the teaching of the Bible. And there are people tonight in Ballygown, they don't know this. And maybe some says, no, I've never heard this before. I just believe, do the best you can, and you'll be all right. Do nobody any harm. You only have to go to church once or twice a year. You can do whatever you like. That is not the teaching of the Bible. It's not the teaching of the law of God. It's not the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the teaching of the great apostle Paul, because he said in Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice what he says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Under the wrath of God. Think of John the Baptist. What a man he was. A man sat apart to preach the word of God. And he said to them, remember the old Pharisees and the Sadducees, these old religious hypocrites that came to him. And he said to him, Matthew 3 and the verse 7, who hath warned you to flee? Listen. From the wrath to come. Who's warned you? But notice here. The wrath to come. Winter. Darkness, distress, hell. Who has warned you? And this is what he's preaching. And the people tonight, we know in this whole community, maybe in this congregation tonight, and you're lost and you're in your sin and you're rebelling against God and you refuse to return and come to Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah the prophet, and God is speaking to us here through his word tonight, and he's saying, look at the birds. Look at them. They see the darkness, they feel the coldness, they feel their weakness, and they rise up and they make their flight. I'm asking you tonight, unsaved meek person, this meeting, do you not know the darkness is in your soul tonight? Do you not know you're lost without Jesus Christ? If death should take you away tonight, God forbid it does, but if it did, you'd be lost. I know to be lost in hell for all eternity. You need to come to Christ. Remember, in Mark 1 verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what he preached. You need to rise up and make your flight. So we think here of the reason of their flight. And he's bringing in the birds. These little birds are just seen to be lifted up. And he says, look at these birds. Well, we look at them tonight and we see the reason of their emigration here. They rose up because of winter coming. Death was coming. Trouble was coming. They had to rise and flee. And you need to turn away from your sin. How many more sermons do you want to hear? How many more opportunities do you want to be given to come to Christ? Be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, you've got to be in time. So think here about the reason for their flight. And what do you think, secondly, about the region of their flight? Each of these birds fly to a place of safety. The sun, they want to go to somewhere where it's warm. And they do this by instinct. It's like no one tells them when to arise, or no one tells them where to go. Now, it is reckoned they use the stars and the sun and the magnetic effect of the earth here. They use these things, but it's built within them when to go. It's built within these little birds where to go. And so they rise up to a place of safety. That's what they do. And I did say there earlier on that, and I came across this when I was doing this sermon, that 70,000 seaboards migrate to Strangford Lough. And so, as I said, if you want to go up and see them, then you can go up and see these stocks that come away from Canada every year. Every year. But they're coming across, they know where to go. Now, if you want to escape the cold, you think you wouldn't come to Northern Ireland. You think, boy, I think I'd go somewhere else. But this is where they come. Because apparently, if you're out in Canada, it could be minus 20 or minus 30. So a minus 2 or 3 over here. Man, I tell you this, it's quite wilder in Northern Ireland, isn't it? We're all yearning, we're all cold, and we're hopped up, and all the rest of it. But these boys and these stocks have come across from Canada. This is why great climate in Northern Ireland. So it is. But they know where to go to. We need to get to a place of safety. We need to do it. These people were told to where they should go to. And I want to just look at one reference in chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now notice what God says. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Right throughout this passage, they're left in no doubt where they are to go to, or could I say, to whom they are to go to. And God is saying, tell them, Jeremiah, and preach on the streets, and tell the people they are to return to me. They've come to Jesus Christ. They've come to the great Jehovah, the great Savior of the world. They've got to flee. They've got to flee to Jesus Christ. That is the teaching of the Bible. Do we want to be saved? Do you want everlasting life? You've got to flee to Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28, he said these words, and they're very simple and well known words to all of us. He says, come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Do you hear him? Do you hear him calling people tonight? He says, come unto me. He's not calling him to any church. He's not calling him to this church. He's not calling people to flee to a particular creed, the communion table, or to baptism. All of these things may have their place in our churches. But he's saying, come to me. He is the Savior of the world. And if you ever want to be saved, you must flee to Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the gospel. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world and bled and died upon the cross. One sacrifice for sin forever. He was wounded for me. He was wounded for me. There on the cross. Did we not sing it? He was wounded for me. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us. And he shed his blood to take away our sin. So we've got to flee to him. This is the only place that he is he's the only Savior. There's no other Savior. Peter said that in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must be saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's no good fleeing to anything else or to any other person but Jesus Christ. These words, then you were to go to be safe. I'm glad part of my ministry and the good news of the gospel is telling people where they could go to someone who can save them, someone who can cleanse them from sin, someone who can give them everlasting life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. And that's the message to your heart here tonight. To turn away from your sin and flee to him. Do we not sing it? Not him. Foul I too, the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And here's where we've got to flee to Christ. And that's where you've been pointed to tonight. Remember John the Baptist, that mighty prophet of God, great preacher, looking at the Jews, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen, the word behold, it means to stop. It means to look. And he said, look, do you see him? There he is. There's the one who could take away your sin. There's the one you have to flee to. Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel. the matters to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the reason. And God has sent a Jeremiah. Tell them. Go and tell them. And he told them a number of other occasions as well. Tell them to return. To return unto me. To me. He is a Savior of the world. And I say to you tonight, these words teach us. You need to flee to a refuge. You need to flee to one who can save you. The Lord Jesus, that one. And that's the good news tonight. You can't save yourself. There are people tonight, they're trying by their own works and by their own efforts tonight to get to heaven. It's what I do. It's what I say. And all of these things are trying to work and work and work their way to heaven. But it cannot be done. You cannot do it. Salvation is not a DIY thing. Some of us are not very good at DIY. But certainly when it comes to save, there's none of us any good. There's none of us any good at DIY. You may be handy with a saw and a drill and around your home and do wee jobs and all the rest of it. But when it comes to salvation, this DIY is useless. Jesus saves. Jesus saves and his blood, it washes whiter than the snow. And you need to flee to him. And so there's a region here. And we think of the birds and they're flying. Think about the resolve in their flight. You can watch them take off towards their destination. And you know, their resolve to go. And I want you to see this tonight. Their resolve to go all the way. Not a quarter of the way. Not half of the way. Not three quarters of the way. No, when these birds rise up to go, they are resolved to go all the way. The resolve in their flight. I want you to notice three things about their resolve. Their resolve despite the danger. It's a dangerous thing, you know. A lot of these birds fly at night. They fly at night. I wouldn't like to be driving a car at night with no lights on. Maybe you wouldn't, Ellen. It's not right. A lot of these birds fly at night. There's wires. There's dangers. Then there's animals out there waiting on. They know the flight path of these boys and where they'll be landing. And some of these boys are waiting on them because they're going to get their supper, whatever the case, they're waiting for them. There's a lot of dangers and a lot of birds are killed. I came across someone said about illegally that there were 24 million birds are illegally slaughtered in the Mediterranean every year. I can't say well I verify that, but I came across that type of figure. So there's danger here. There's danger for the birds. But they're resolved to go. And go towards the place of safety. They go despite the danger. They go despite the distance. It is reckoned some of these cranes can cover an average of about 200 miles a single day. Boy, that is some motor. 200 miles a single day. Sometimes it would take 4 weeks. 200 miles a day. And so they go for miles, hundreds of miles. And in some cases, a wee bird that goes from the north to the south pole and then back again. And when you put all that miles together, it does 55,000 miles every year. But there's a wee bird called the Arctic tern, and it migrates from there to back every year. That's a lot of us. But here's what I want you to grasp. They still go. They still go, despite the distance. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. They're not going just up the road, 10 miles. No, hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles. Coming from Canada, losing their own land to Sanford Lock. I don't know how long it is, but Google, you type it into Google when you go home or when you go to this meeting, and she'll tell you. She knows all the distances, and she'll tell you how far it is to Calgary and how far it is to Sanford Lock, and you'll be able to get the mileage and how far it is. But they go despite the distance. And the danger and the distractions. There's things that would distract them and seek to hold them back. Imagine somebody put a corn down in the field and so on to get them to come down. Think about the wind. Think about the storms they had to go through. Think about the rain. And but on they go, the flapping of their wings and going on and on and on. Their resolve to get to the place of safety. Despite the distance. Remember, they're leaving good homes. They built a home. The good nest, and they're comfortable. And I said, oh, well, we had to leave it. But they'll leave it. They'll leave it. To save themselves and their little ones. It is said that some of these birds actually prepare for migration and they build up body fat in order to make this a great journey. But here's a lesson for us. We shall be resolved to come to Christ despite all the difficulties. It's not going to be easy. The devil maybe is coming against you. Oh, unsaved person tonight in this meeting. He's throwing doubts into your heart and into your mind. You'll never keep it. What about your family? What about your friends? What about yourself? You'll never be able to change. You'll never be able to live such a life. The devil is a liar, by the way. You've got to be resolved to come to Jesus Christ. Despite the difficulties, despite the dangers, the devil, he is coming against you with his opposition, coming raging against you. But you've got to be resolved to come to Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to stop me coming to Jesus Christ. You've got to come with all your heart. You've got to come with all your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come despite all the difficulties and all the dangers. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I want to say that to you. Maybe there's something holding you back tonight, unsaved person in this meeting. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife or your mama or your dad or someone or something holding you back tonight and coming to Christ. Don't worry about them. Just come the way you are to the Lord Jesus. Come and trust him. We were singing that, Come Every Soul by Sinner Oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he was sure to give you rest by trusting in his word. Come despite the difficulties, the dangers, the distance. You haven't too far to go. I don't have to send you tonight to Canada, or I don't have to send you to some other climate or some other country tonight. You know what the Bible says? In Isaiah 55 verse 6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You haven't too far tonight to go to be saved. You can be saved where you sit. You can be saved tonight in this meeting. Remember in Luke chapter 18, the two men went up into the temple to pray. And the old Pharisee, he prayed all about himself. But the publican, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And here's what the Lord Jesus said. He went down to his house justified. He came into the meeting unsaved. But boys, when he went home, he went in and he says, Listen, I want to tell you a bit of news. The old man, or if he was old, he's got saved. And you can be saved here tonight. You haven't far to go to. Jesus Christ is among us, people. Is he speaking to your heart? You're under conviction of your sin tonight? Then come to him. Oh, the distractions. The devil will throw things and people in order to stop you. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, he thought about his riches when he was facing Jesus Christ. And the Lord told him what he had to do to be saved. And then he thought about his riches. He thought about his silver and gold. He thought about all of these things. The devil fired them all in. And the Lord distracted him. He said, Oh, no, I ain't going. I ain't coming to Jesus Christ. And the devil's doing that in your heart tonight, don't see a person in this meeting. But you've got to go, to rise up and go to Jesus Christ. The determination of all of this flight to these people, he went here, the resolve in their flight. And you must be resolved. I want Jesus Christ. I want forgiveness. I want to be saved. I don't want to lose my soul. And come to Jesus Christ. That's how you're saved, you know, with all your heart. We're not talking about making a profession and going just part of the way. These words were resolved to go all the way. There's people, you know them, I know them, that made professions, they went part of the way, they turned back, they stopped. And they weren't saved. They've stopped. You've got to go all the way in following Jesus. Think about the resolve here in their flight. Think about the restriction in their flight last year, because they had to go at that particular time. And if anyone says to him, Look, don't be in a hurry, hold on a minute, just sit there in your branches, you're lovely and comfortable up there in that nest. I know there's a wee bit of a nip has come into the air, but you know, it'll pass. It's only Northern Ireland, wherever it is, don't worry about it. There too the sun will be shining and you'll be roasted. There was no such thing. It was urgent, and they knew that they had to go. Restriction. It says here in our text, actually, as we've read it together here in chapter 8, the stalk and the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They know. They know it's time to go. And they know that time is short. And they have to go. I came across a wee thing. It said about 5,000 Brant Greece arrived early at Strangford. And one time, these 5,000 great geese Tory, I get my tongue tied, geese. They arrived in Strangford, and they arrived early. And I thought, boy, that was powerful, wasn't it? But you can't arrive late. You can't arrive. You'll never be too early to get saved, you know. Young people here tonight, the devil maybe says, well, grow up a bit. Now your time enough and come unto Jesus Christ. You'll never be too early and come unto Jesus Christ. But you can be too late. You can be too late. Remember, the Bible says in Genesis 6 verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God's not always going to call you and give you opportunity. Remember, the Lord Jesus says in Luke 13 verse 25, when the master of the house has risen up and noticed and is shut to the door is shut. And for many people, it's too late. We were singing tonight, weren't we? Be in time, when the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time, if in sin you longer wait, and you find no open gate, you cry, be too late. You see, you've got to be in time. There's a restriction, the appointed season. And you have your appointed season. Behold, now is accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. And if you're concerned about your soul and you feel that your sin within you, come to Jesus Christ. Come now and trust him. There's a restriction here. No delay in this matter. And perhaps you've delayed for years. It's time to seek the Lord. Dr. Thomas, a great preacher, he told one night about a lady who was anxious about her soul and the future without Christ. And she got up and she wrote in her diary, 1 year from now, and a paraphrase in the words, I will attend to the matter of my soul. 1 year from now, I'll get saved. And she lay down in her bed. But boy, she couldn't get any rest at all. So she rose up again. I'll write a better promise than that. She wrote down, 1 month from now, I will attend to the matter. But she still couldn't sleep. And she got up and she said, next week I will attend to the matter. And she lay down and slept all night. But you know something? The next day, the woman took ill, even mentally as well. She lost her mind. And she said these words, I am awake too late. I am lost. And she died without Jesus Christ. You see, you've got to be in time. You've got to rise up and come to Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord is saying here through Jeremiah the prophet, tell them about the birds. Tell them. Go and tell them, Jeremiah. Tell them to lift up their eyes. Yes, do you see them in the sky? Do you see them flying to a place of safety? Tell them, do you see them? And look at them, they're sitting and they're not fleeing at all. And maybe you're unsaved, you heard my sermon tonight, and you'll see the birds flying over your head here one of these days, and it'll be a lesson to you, an object lesson to you, that you're not fleeing, and you have not come to Jesus Christ. I would urge you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus. You'll find he's a great and mighty Saviour. And him that cometh unto me, he says, I'll no wise cast out. There's mercy within the Lord. There's power in his blood that cleanses away all your sin. And would you come to him tonight? Would you be saved? If God has spoken to anyone, then you want to speak with me. The elders are here, the other ones. Remain behind and speak with us. But don't go home without Christ. And settle this great matter tonight, where you'll be in eternity, that all your sins may be forgiven. And I trust the Lord has blessed his word to our hearts. Just going to close in a wee word of prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the lesson from the birds. Lord, we are rebuked by them. And this people who heard these words were rebuked when they saw the birds and their immigration going to safety. And they remained in their sin and were judged. And Lord, I pray for any tonight who's not saved that you will deal with their heart. I pray that you'll bring them to the Lord Jesus. And don't let them go home without you. Maybe there's some listening at home and they're not saved. And Lord, you're dealing with their hearts. And I pray that we'll come to Christ. Bless each one of us. Keep us safe until we meet again in this vision. And take us now safely home, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.